What's going on here? You haven't changed your practice. I don't understand it. I don't understand how anybody in this damn community could do that. I can't even hardly hold my head up. When my hands are swollen up with rheumatism till they look like a rubber glove inflated with water, I manage to speak to anybody and never once fail to speak if someone speaks to me. And if it is, I have not heard it, because I certainly always say hi, or if I'm on the second reflex, haven't had much sleep, little doll, I'll say hi as you're going by, I'll call to the person. I don't understand this, I don't relate to this shit, and nobody going to go over there that's got a chip on their shoulder and can't take a criticism and can't be civil with their fellow man and their fellow sister. I'm not going to even relate to you people, and you're not going to ruin the whole opportunity for 1,000 people. First have to be the best. And whether you can get yourself into the shape to be the best, it remains to be seen. I'm not prejudicial. I'm open and objective on the score. But you'll have to show me more. Bev, did you wish to say something? I don't care what the shit-slinger's doing. I'm concerned about what you people are doing. The shit-slinger's not on the floor. You want to say something about the shit-slinger, that's all right. But the main issue is how you handle the shit. And that is turn the other cheek. I mean, you've got to do that, or we can't take any kind of reaction. No kind of reaction, but calm and cool.
That's right. I'm not all
of you. I don't hear no damn excuse. I don't give it that they call you a son of a bitch 18 times a day. I want to hear no retaliation from you. That's what I'm demanding. I mean, from now on till that jet starts off for that roundup, I want to hear no shit coming back from you people, no bullshit music. I don't want you to be caught up in no goddamn games, sex games, or foolishness. I want to keep your hair on straight. You can be in a relationship, but I don't want no goddamn mess like we've seen here in the last few hours of people trying to kill themselves or go running off because somebody's with somebody else. You know, you have to produce the best of what Jonestown is. Communism. It's not just Jim Jones, you see. It's Marxist-Leninism. This man said it's the only North American communist colony. Community, rather, alive. The only communist, U.S. communist society alive, is what he said to us. Now, we sure as hell don't want to let that down. 280 million people looking at us. Any of your crud comes out there, damn it, you've ruined it for every child that's in this place. So anybody want to probe him? What about it?
It's not Mac or Dad, it's
who we are as a people. What did we do? You reveal your own belief that the Ku Klux Klan's propagated. Are you Ku Klux Klan? Are you black? You're propagating top nigger. You're propagating Ku Klux Klan doctrine. And you say back, well, it takes a nigger to know a nigger. This is all Ku Klux Klan talk.
The thing is...
It's idiotic and it's painful.
It's idiotic because it shows that you've been thwarted by an American society that separates color, when the whole thing is that we've been all oppressed as workers. That's the whole thing. And
have all of you in this group seen Harlan County? You see that black man with the white men all there on the same line, and it was a white man that got shot down, left his young wife with a baby, shot down by the goon squads of the capitalist owners of the mine. There'd be no difference what color it was. They were working class people. That's the issue. And you bring this color shit into this, I'm tired of it. I said, I'm tired of it. Yes, that's what I wonder. Now you asked them that thing, and ask that. Communism to be.
I believe communism is a right that everyone should have to work together to be able to come to one ultimate conclusion. And it is communalism. Living, working, eating together, sharing what you have with the next person, and the next person sharing it with you.
First and foremost, which I've not seen from you nor anyone talking tonight, communism is the end of ego. The place of sociocentric behavior for egocentric behavior. You people have been worrying about covering your ass all night long here. Every time I throw a ball, covered ass. Diane, she covered ass. She's friendly with everybody. Had me 18 people say don't speak to her before she might just slightly acknowledge that she's covering her ass. All night long I've heard people covering your ass. You're not communist. That's first and foremost. Because if you did, you wouldn't give a shit what somebody was saying about you. You'd listen to it, think about it, and you would react honestly and objectively. You then would be on the communist path. But you haven't even shown me you're on the communist path today. The moment something hits you, I saw it in Diane's face, stiffen up. Everybody hits somebody or something, you just stiffen up against it. You won't listen a word to it. You're not only a communist, you're not on a communist course. Right. You have behaved like juveniles. Every person confronted here tonight, for the most part, except Loretta Wilkerson, who said, I shouldn't go. It's been nothing but juvenile behavior, not communism. Communism means the end of egocentric behavior and the beginning of sociocentric behavior. And you have no sociocentric behavior, or you'd quit worrying about covering your ass. Makes me sorry I ever left the streets of San Francisco and didn't die there. I mean, this shit makes me sick. We come so far to carry so much capitalist bullshit. Anybody ought to have no nerve to stand up and tell me you've done the best you can. Now, nobody can stand in my face and tell such a lie like that. You'd have to tell her when I was back there doing something else. You couldn't look at my face and tell me you're doing the best you can. Stop being a dirty damn liar. Now, folk, where are we going to grow up? Are we going to lose this revolution? Hell, a lot of work went in to lose it. Got the eyes of the world upon us. Poland writing about us, Yugoslavia writing about us, Democratic People's Republic writing about us, even China didn't write badly about us. Soviet Union writing about us. What the hell are we going to show them? What the hell are they going to find when they break through the shell? I'm fearful if they met confrontation tomorrow. Now, would you like to go over what is your faults and what in the hell was wrong about your behavior that's been brought up tonight? Then by that, I'll understand whether you've grown or not.
Okay.
I don't hear nothing about Michael Simon, his course, a socialist course. Specifically, what did you do wrong?
I heard two or three.
Four. A whole lot of brown, a whole lot of black, a whole lot of yellow skins. A whole lot of white skins are in that low class, called the working class. That should be the upper class. All the wealth belongs to the working class, the ones that produce the wealth. But all the ones that hold it are the elite. They happen to be mostly white. They have some Uncle Tom lackeys that do their dirty work. You used some other color references, didn't you? Teaching Marxist-Leninist principle and practicing, it stabs me deeply. Anybody say, I'm doing that to him because he's doing that to me. That's so sick.
I apologize for that.
Blow to Timothy Stone until it was evident that he is not going to stop. I don't retaliate out of vindictiveness. I don't seek to avenge my enemies. I seek to find the class enemy and destroy the class enemy. If that didn't happen to be Timothy Stone, and it had not been up till a certain date, which a conspirator next to him, higher than him, stepped forward and told how deeply enmeshed he was in the entire conspiracy, so then we learn at that point that Timothy Stone was and always had been a fascist and a provocateur. So then we take action against him. But no person saw me take any action against him based on a personal vendetta. No matter how much he hurt me, I did not retaliate. No matter how much goodness he'd stomped on, I did not retaliate. It was only when it became clear to me that he represented the class enemy, then we took him on. And I don't apologize for that. And if it had to been, whoever it had been, it would have made a difference to me if it had been Timothy Stone or Jim Cobb, who I would not find as much anger towards as I do with Timothy Stone. But if it had been Jim Cobb, I would have reacted to him if he was the one giving the orders. The class enemy, the person that's trying to do all this shit to destroy black people. So we had to sneak black people out of one of them right here in our organization today. Had to slip them out in the middle of the night to be safe in the entire Mendocino and Sonoma County. But the goddamn lies they spew out of their mouth. They're class enemies. You got to learn the difference. Somebody goes by me and doesn't speak to me, I'm not going to get mad at that person. I'm not going to retaliate by saying, you horse's ass. Many a day, people don't speak to me, I know. They try to avoid me, particularly when they're plotting some shit. And I don't let that get me to affect me, and it shouldn't affect you. I get just as tired as you do, and just as need as a rest as you do, and more.
Right.
Okay, now, you'll do more than your part. Your conditioning has nothing to do with him. If he wants to be a class asshole, he wants to be a class egocentric, you have to move forward. You can't may say, I'll do my part if he does his part. That's not socialism. Socialism is you sacrifice yourself and the hell with what the rest of the people do. See, I sit here and I look at this thing and I don't know what the hell's going to happen in my future. I don't know what the hell will happen to me in Russia. I don't even give a goddamn. I don't even think about it. Don't make any difference to me. As long as I get people to safety. But I could sit back as a millionaire and had anything America had to offer. But I didn't want it. I gave it up. I sacrificed. I put me out of the way. And it looks to me, but this time of day, this long epoch that we've been here a year, and some of us longer together, that by now, as some of you people would learn, it's not based on what he does as to what you do. If I had reacted to this group as they've reacted to me, I'd have walked off and left this group 900 days ago. For instance, you don't rise to any rank in the political rank in terms of very important positions if you have any affairs. They don't understand it. They understand Lenin, what he did to build a revolution. But after the revolution is won, they have pretty strict morality. Very strict morality. They feel people got their mind on sex, and they don't get their mind at ease and settle down with one person, that they are not due to rise in the party. And you can argue that as you feel. I would tend to agree with it. As he said about my situation, he fully understood about Johnny. He understood about all these cases. He fully understood. He said, you are trying to build a revolution. But when a revolution is won, then we have laws that are different. And I wholeheartedly agree. That's what we've been trying to do here. But everyone's trying to break these goddamn rules all the time. And have one run off 3 times in a night over this sister over here. And another one trying to commit suicide last night. So have no peace 2 nights in a row. I don't know what we're going to do about this kind of a mess. I have a strong feeling just to, that people act like this should never even get out. I think we're going to change the hospital unit and put it down here and give them one whole capacity, and we'll treat you just like they do with mental patients. They have mental wards in any sane society. And it's insane to run away 3 times in a jungle filled with snakes and perhaps mercenaries and perhaps Venezuelan scouts, bounty hunters, trying to get people to raise money. It's insane to run off 3 times. That's what I call it. It would be insane. Any panel of psychiatrists would lock you up and say you're crazier than a fool to be running around in a jungle when you've got plain sidewalks and all the provisions you have offered here for you, entertainment and so forth and so on.
Has anyone else any other suggestions?
Here. You. The only one, Richard. The only one of you. I'm running off. It's kind of bullshit. A zoo, then we'll create a zoo. Right. Now tell me about this feeling of running away or dying.
It's kind of a funny answer. I couldn't really say how it begun. It started when I was small. I tried to find out in my own way, but, well, I had funny dreams, but I don't know how to actually put it all together, but I tried to understand. I told my mother once we're moving, and she said, "No, you're crazy." And the next day, she told us we're gonna move, and I kept on telling that for a while. I never understood.
Richard, excuse me a second. I know I talked to you for a little bit last Sunday morning.
That's how much it is to it. Nothing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, what about this thing you feel you're threatening me in a dream?
Oh, it was actually, I can't really. Well, the dream I had.
Somebody sent me up some shit tonight and said they voodoo. Shit, they know that I booked the voodoo. The voodoo's done. How the hell did you get your mind off that bullshit? My dreams are astrological charts. Who knows that shit here? bad enough that they had to take one miracle worker, one healer, bad enough that required one to make some people communists around here. That's shame enough. So I don't make two shames. You don't need to worry about it, son. You're not a prophet. Your dreams don't mean damn thing. So you can quit worrying about your dreams. Maybe then you'll dream about what you're really thinking about. Because you're dressing your dreams up because you're hostile.
Right.
You're upset. You're disturbed. Now, I understand that. You disturb her because she's not giving you enough sex, and you turn that disturbance towards me, so that's why you see yourself threatening me. Hell no, that's just normal, it's rising the sun. But you got to get yourself together. And right now, you're not together.
Yes, I'm not. I know I'm not. I try to put myself together and get this hostile out of myself.
In the meantime, that you could, till we determine your status, you have had emotional treatment in a mental institution in the past, haven't you?
I have.
All right. There's nothing to be more, nothing to worry about that any more than being treated for tonsillectomy, or appendix, or liver. But it does require certain evaluations. And in the meantime, I'm wondering, what is the scene of the hospital? Is it crowded to the capacity and on the floors? Well, when are you going to make this switch? How many people in where Pat's facility? Maybe they could switch and could use that house. It'd be crowded, but they could perhaps use that house.
In that one wing of apartment one, we have 15 children and one adult.
Uh-huh. One half of dawn, too. She's talking about dawn.
I have to leave and go take care of her. She was in complete coma where she was. She shouldn't have been able to come out of it at the time that she did, only because of Dad's power that he brought her out of it. And as soon as he went in and started talking to her, she responded immediately. And she was not responding to none of the medical attention that our staff was giving her at all. And it was only because of Dad that she came out of it. And I'd like to thank Dad. Because all the day he didn't say Ricky and everyone else who, you know, that all these problems we had, and yet Dad's still taking care of all these other problems.
If I'd have failed, it'd been guilt because I failed. I didn't cause the coma. The young girl, just between life and death, hanging by the string. Kay Nelson's granddaughter. They couldn't do anything for her. Only me, only me. But if I'd have failed, I'd have had to assume the guilt. And I felt the guilt all the way there, and I felt the guilt for every failure that people have created for themselves. If you take guilt and appropriate it in work and appreciation, it becomes the biggest determiner for communism. If you take guilt and resent it and don't appropriate it properly, it can do nothing for you or anyone else. How many people here have not killed somebody someplace along the line, emotionally? And maybe even physically? How many of the wrongs, they don't know, they don't know, you don't know. Some people are raising their hands, but lots of guilt under the belts of people there. And the only possible way you can endure, Chris, is by facing your guilt every day. And that's what troubles a lot of folk there, not facing that guilt. They resent facing guilt. It's the only thing that can keep an organization moving to the pure goal of socialism. Only guilt for all the mistakes we've made, for all the capitalism we've helped create, even when we have bought an ice cream cone or drank a Coca-Cola. I just talked to a lot of people out here. They never assume this guilt. So you're healthy. You assume guilt. You've made a tragic blunder this week. You know what I mean? But these two people both also are responsible for their lives. This man is a grown, supposedly mature adult. He drinks gasoline. The other one is a mature 15 for his age, and he runs away three times in one night. They both need keepers. No matter what you've done in the picture, you can't be responsible for the whole thing. women should be more responsible because it touches so much, but it's still, you girls have to learn everything the hard way. The fellows do too. So if you learn from this thing, you will see you got two basket cases. Which basket do you want? Or none? You got two basket cases. Ain't no other way to lay it out to you. You got two basket cases. I sit here and lie to you and play games and fool and say you got strength down there, but you haven't got strength down there. You got basket cases. I know the mother doesn't like to hear this. I know the relatives don't like to hear this, but I can't help it. I just have to tell the truth. Truth is the truth. Maybe a basket case in 6 months can be stability, which is sure going to take a hell of a lot of input. A hell of a lot of input. The one case, making it without you, you should have stayed with the one you had. That's what you really ought to have done, stayed along with, rather than get into two sick cases. You seem to find sickness. The one can't live without you, apparently. We're going to have to watch him night and day. He can't live without you. The other one could, the last one, who's more meaningful to you. He could live without you very easily. Me from day to day. Gratitude that your one young girl tonight isn't a vegetable for life, which she looked like she was going to be. They'd done everything medically possible. It was a nightmare when they came up here and told me. Somehow I did it. I don't know how. Somehow I said I'd do it. I would do it. I did it down there and did it. I still don't know how I did it. But I did it. And that kind of gratitude-guilt mixture is the only thing keeps me going. It'd be a terrible thing to be in a vegetable state like that all the rest of your life. I've got 1,200 people to feel guilty for. You only got two. I'm trying to make the best of the picture. My advice is that they're both too dependent. They're both immature. But the one has had far more rejection than the other, the older of them. Total. The other one, too, has been rejected, though. You got into a bag. You're into a bag. Not a very, very comfortable bag to be in, I'm sure. We have to observe these chaps. One of them wants to commit suicide by running off and doesn't know how to do it. Another one tries to commit suicide very directly. No playing with him. When you drink gasoline, you mean business. Only thing is that everybody here better learn. You better remind every child. Better wake him up right now and tell him that it isn't so easy to commit suicide in this place. You better tell him, whisper to him. It isn't so easy. You'll probably end up something different than what you thought. And I'm not trying to play any fun and games. I'm telling you, it's not so easy. You better wake every soul up. And then if they made it, I'm as confident as hell the mind lives on. I am confident of it. Don't make me love any deity. Doesn't make me feel any order up there, but I am confident the mind lives on. I know how it happened when I died. It does go on its way. And you're very much cognizant of all the people still there. Some people say it's restful. Those are people who don't have much conscience. To me, it was agony because I saw my child crying for me, and I'm way up above the child. And I was laying on the kitchen floor, but I'm way up above Lou. And he's crowded up against the bedroom door, and I'm way up there looking at him, fighting to get back in that body. And I hear Marceline down there saying, you got to live, Jim. You got to live, Jim. You got to." And she was screaming. I don't know what all she said. But they gave me penicillin. And I had absolute immediate reaction. Everything stopped. By the way, if you don't think gasoline too, who was it? Some sister sent a note up here, and I don't read 1/10 of the miracles or healings, but she said something about she had a sister. Who was it? They had a sister-in-law, a sister, the son-in-law or something that took gasoline. Eyes rolled back, turned white, and died instantly. It's a little gasoline. Who was it? Somebody here tonight. Yeah, there. Aurora, Sister Rodriguez. But you see, he took a lot of gasoline. He didn't die. And I want to tell you, he went through hours of hell. He shit fire, and he vomited fire. That's exactly what he went through, hours. Vomiting fire, and shitting fire. And burning like hell, and screaming like something
Nobody would want to be in that state. It isn't worth it. Then if you don't get out of the goddamn mess, it's too obvious. I'm telling you, I don't believe in anything loving in the universe, but I do believe the mind supersedes the body. I mean, it goes out of the body. Listen on. I said, well, I don't tell you ghost stories. I'd like to tell you there's nothing but just what we see here in this human plane. It makes the teaching of Marxism easier for me. But I cannot tell you that because I sit in the nursing home and talk the woman into dying who was fighting death and had been laying in a vegetable state for weeks, breast all open with cancer and her chest cavities laid open. And she was holding on, eyes set. Have you ever seen anybody in a coma? You know what it is. Don't ever talk around a person in a coma like they don't know. You just don't know about the mind. From all appearances, she should have been completely gone. The mind should have been severed. So much had been eaten away by cancer. So much atrophy. So much dehydration. I said, you're afraid of death, aren't you? It was Louise, wasn't it? You're afraid of death. I said, you shouldn't be afraid of death. You've done no wrong. She felt like she needed a priest. Some sensation I had. I said, you don't need that either. Everything's all right. I want you to agree with me that in 5 minutes you're going to leave this body. And we were getting, I guess, $100 a week to take care of her. I don't like to see human beings live like that. Half eaten, half dead, the doctor trying to keep her alive. He'd give her more support mechanisms, had intravenous feedings in her body, trying to keep her alive because he'd make money. But Jim Jones don't like to make money off of suffering. So I stood by her bedside and said, 5 minutes, Louise, 5 minutes. And I want to say, may every child die here. The nurses can witness that we're there. A vapor lifted from her body, and she ceased breathing. I can tell you cases after cases like that. A man one time wanted to get his idiotic thing in Indianapolis. Edith will remember it. Eva will remember it. He wanted his pipe. Who was that man? Do you remember Edith? The old Adirainite over there that the man died, and I had his funeral. Do you remember that man? Well, I can't remember where he lived. He lived out there in the east part of Indianapolis. He and his wife and I think a daughter. They went all around the ladder rain. He died. He told me where his... He wanted his... Wanted his, you remember the thing I'm talking about? The pipe. He wanted his pipe. Do you remember it, Eva? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was something else. So I get him his pipe. He's in a coma. And he gets his pipe in his hand, and he dies. He wants his pipe. I said, I'd bury the pipe with him. I didn't know what to do. I told the woman she didn't believe in smoking. He'd quit smoking the pipe, even. I was against Pentecostal teaching to smoke. He wanted his pipe, so I gave him his pipe, and they buried the pipe with him. So don't play fun and games with trying to quit suicide. Because I did something tonight that was beyond the body's range. Doctors had tried everything. Medical science had gone to its nth degree. Coma. Total, complete coma. No response. Vegetable for here, now, and forevermore. I said, no, I won't accept that. Because I said, this is a covenant, I said, if she stays in a coma, I cannot stand this. That's what I was saying to myself as I walked down there. I will die. I cannot see a child stay in a coma like this. That's why I walked away patiently. But inside, it isn't that easy. I'm a skeptic and a cynic, and no matter how many victories I win, I'm still a skeptic and a cynic. But there's one thing I'm not cynical about. As perverse as this universe is, you know one thing it would do.